Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the sky above us today, November 4th, 2020. So I hope everybody lived in love and peace last evening. And just as I thought, we do not have any definitive idea on who the president is going to be in this country. And as far as I'm concerned, it's out of our hands. I've done my part, right? I did my vote. And now there is nothing to do but wait. And we can wait with patience or we can wait with frustration and anxiety. Your choice, right? You get to choose how it is that you want to show up in the world. I was talking to a friend this morning and she was, you know, we were talking about the fact that the election was not called. And I just said, it doesn't matter. At this point, it really doesn't matter who becomes the president, because they're in this country. I mean, it's a small piece of what's going on around the globe. And it is all happening in the right and perfect way. I have to have faith. I keep going back to that full moon just last Saturday night, Halloween, that was all about having faith in cyclic renewal. If this isn't the time yet to cycle through a new beginning of sorts, if it's time for us to continue this in the vein that we've been in, so be it. But also on the other side, if it's time for something new, something different, then so be that. And I don't know how this is going to turn out. I wish I did. A lot of astrologers called it for Biden. I just don't know. I really don't know. And at this point, you know what I'm interested in? I'm interested in doing my part to keep the world as peaceful, loving, and happy as I possibly can. So there you have that. This morning, we're going to dive into the 11th house of the astrology chart. It is a really interesting place. And just by chance and happenstance, I ran across an article. And of course, I run across the article at 7:25 when I have like 5 minutes left before I have to go get ready. So I think there might be a part two to this 11th house. It caught my interest because there is both the traditional and more classical astrological meaning of a house or of planets or of signs. And then there is also the more modern. And being a more modern person, a more modern astrology, what I learned was the modern ruler and information about the 11th house. The article that I saw just before we went on this, or before I had to leave this morning to get ready, was more of the classical, and it has a little bit different swing to the energy. So I'll bring to you the information that I learned or gleaned out of just my couple of minutes of getting of being able to read the article. And then as well, we'll talk today about the moon and what she's up to. Let me give you a hint, we're already in the void. So if you think things are going to move forward today, probably only in fits and starts as the moon is wandering around. She's finishing up her transit through the sign of Gemini, and then we'll move into the sign of Cancer, changing up the energy that we're used to dealing with for the last few days. And as well, we'll talk about today's Pleiadian Earth energy, but there are no major transits to talk about. There aren't anything, there's no earth shaking, teeth rattling new energy for us to work with today. So on one hand, that's a good thing. On the other hand, it means that we're still stuck in an old pattern and likely not shaking out of that anytime soon, or at least not for the next couple of days. So shall we dig in? Let me first go over here and say good morning. Asa will be with us shortly if she's not already in there. Good morning, Ursula. It's good to see you. Anna Fulton, hello there. And Nourish Us, she says. Mimi says, good morning, Adrian Jones. Morning, blessings, peace, groundedness, deep breaths. We definitely need that. Good morning, Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel, who just sent me the most beautiful music. Debbie, I encourage you to go to the Living Astrology Community Facebook page, if you aren't already a member there, and post that music up there, because I have this just feeling inside that it's going to be wonderfully beautiful. And if you don't post it, I will later. That's the invitation for all of you, right? Go and join the Living Astrology Community Facebook group. It is a group where you'll have to ask for membership just because I want to make sure that people get that we're sharing with one another in the positive, that this isn't a place for us to beat each other up. This is a place for us to share our works, share our curiosity strands and the information that it brings us, and to be together as a community where typically in the morning like this, where we're doing this chat stream, it's great, but it's kind of one-sided. And it's difficult to share in the way that I envisioned us being able to share as a community. So the community page is just that, where you come across something of fantastic worth that you want to share with this community at large, and you can post it there, right? Several of you have posted some really good things there. Keep doing it. Let's make it bigger. Let's make it more inclusive of everybody being able to share their work, share what they love, et cetera, et cetera. So Kathleen Mallory, good to see you this morning. Sylvester, hello there. He's sending love and positive vibes. We love that. Anna Fulton, new systems. I love the void here with you all. I love the void. It gives us a time to just breathe, to just, you know, feel the peace. Pauline, good morning to you. Amy Energy, hello. Amy Energy, you're one of those people that puts out some wonderful videos on the different signs and what's up for that sign for the week. So I invite you to put, you know, a little click a share and share them to the Living Astrology community so other people can see what it is that you're doing. Christine Buckingham, good morning to you. Please all hit the like button. Thank you for that reminder, Christine. Please hit the like button. If you're new and you haven't been with us before, please hit the subscribe button if you like what it is that we're talking about here. You can even hit the little notification bell so that you're notified when I come on air live. So there we have that. So let's dive in, shall we, and talk a little bit about what the moon is up to today. I got to find my cheat sheet. And I'm sitting here with an empty cup of coffee this morning because I already drank it. And so I'm going to have water with me. Okay, so water. The moon today in Gemini went into the void at 5:49 a.m. my time. So even before I got up this morning, the moon was in the wobble. And she will be that way until 1:45 p.m. my time. That is 4:45 for those of you on the East Coast. And that means that this is not going to be a great day to start, to make a new fresh beginning, to step out in any major kind of way or to change, you know, your direction. Because the moon, when she's wandering, means that our emotions are kind of wandering as well. We may be up and then down. We may be hot and then cold. You know, that song, that pop song about being hot and cold, up and down, in and out, all of that. So today's not necessarily going to be a great day to make a new beginning. And as it relates to the news cycle, then again, we may be hearing differing pieces of information, but not anything new, not anything definitive. So just be prepared for that longer stretched out sort of informational cycle that's happening for all of us right now. And don't forget, in the background, we're still being hit by that Mercury square Saturn. And Mercury in retrograde squared Saturn on Sunday and Monday, and then never really moves far away from orb, a degree to which we would say they're still impacting one another, until next week. So we have another hit coming on Friday with Mercury squaring Saturn, this time direct. And as Mercury begins to pick up speed and move beyond the degree through as he moves into Scorpio, even next week, then we'll have a change in the energy. So we may not have definitive answers on anything, even in our own personal lives, until at the very least, next week, possibly around the 10th, when Mercury moves into Scorpio. And things get exposed, right? The information comes out. And maybe not even until after next Friday when Mars turns to direct motion. So things right now for us personally and also in the wider world are slowed down a bit, picking up steam for sure, but slowly doing that. So we have that today. And likely not because of the void, but because of other characters in the play slowing things down for us over the next several days. Now, this morning, before we got up, before the moon went into the void, the last aspect the moon made before she went to the void was with a trine to Mercury. So that would imply, again, an information impact where it may be two steps forward, one step back, right? That kind of thing. But it does give us an inroad to being able to express ourselves, even if the words aren't perfect. So right now we may not find the perfect words to say what it is we want to say, but we can pass our meaning on. Mercury no longer in retrograde, giving us the little bit of inroad, a little bit of a path forward where our minds are thinking more clearly and our words match our mind, hopefully. So today might be a great day for information seeking, following the strands of curiosity that come up in your world. And I don't mean go out and look for every stat out there on the elections, but what if something piques your curiosity, right? Something interesting. And today would be a day, like for me this morning with that 11th house. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to go look for this. And then it makes me want to go back to all the other houses and look and see what more of the traditional meanings were. Is there someplace I can find that information as well and bring it forward, right? This is the perfect use of that gate 44, where we can take the best of the past and bring it forward and put it into the now. Not looking at it, not bringing the baggage forward, but bringing, you know, the wisdom, right, that we've garnered from the past that we've lost contact with, and bringing that forward. I think that's a perfect thing for us to be doing right now. Now, as we get into the afternoon, of course, the moon is going to shift over into Cancer. And Cancer is the sign that the moon rules. So we have a very powerful moon as we get into the evening. And then for the next couple of days, the emphasis turns to more of the emotional field, more of the home, family, nurturing traditions, nurturing ourselves as well as others, remembering, right? It's a sign of memory often that is nostalgic sort of in flair, looking back to the past. So we have another sort of clue that we might be looking at the past. And what is it we want to bring forward from the past? What are the lessons from the past? Not because we want the baggage from that, but because we want the wisdom. Again, the jewels, right? The pieces of wisdom that we hold there in the past so that we can bring them up. So for today, remember, most of the day, the moon is in the void. So there is probably things that are going on behind the scenes that we just aren't privy to at this point, but there's no definitive progress on anything for most of the day. And it may not even be definitive until maybe even until Friday when we get the moon into Leo. So yay, right? So what are you going to focus on then? What fills you up? This is what you're going to focus on, right? You're going to focus on beautiful music. You're going to focus on making wonderful food. You're going to focus on love and your relationships and what you really value, what you have gratitude for. These are the things that we're going to focus on, not the parade of craziness that is possibly happening out there that I just, it's not that I don't want to know about it, but I just don't want to feed my energy into it. And that's how I think all of us need to be, right? To be aware. Awareness is good, but don't feed your energy into it, because then you're part of the problem, not part of the solution. So wisdom here is stay in your heart. I'm still wearing my hearts today. I put them in my hair because yesterday I was kind of annoyed that it was around my wrist, but I did wear it around my wrist until the time I decided to cook dinner, at which time I had to take it off. Otherwise, I would have been dangling it in the chili. Probably not a good plan. By the way, I got to tell you guys about something that happened yesterday, a Uranus moment. Remember, Venus was in an inconjunct yesterday to Uranus. Well, somehow, while I was on air with all of you, all HEQQ was breaking out outside. Probably a huge gust of wind, I don't know. But a little bit, maybe an hour or so after I finished the production of the video, I went to the front door to look outside. My patio umbrella was way out on the lawn. My patio furniture had moved like across the deck. And I had a board up against this one opening in my deck so that the neighbor's cat couldn't get in and harass my poor Sadie. And I had a chair pushed up against it. Well, that board was flopped over, the chair was across. So somehow in the process of me not paying attention to what was going on outside, a windstorm kicked up and moved everything. It was the weirdest thing. I took pictures and sent it to my husband going, "You're not going to believe this, but all of this furniture and the umbrella were moved by a gust of wind that I don't even recall hearing," right? So luckily I didn't lose power or anything, but it was just weird to have that happen. Okay, so let's take a look now and at the 11th house. So the 11th house in an astrology chart is the one that would be sort of at the 11 o'clock position, how extraordinary, about the 11, 10 or 11 o'clock position of your chart. So if you have your own personal chart, take a look at the chart and see what sign is on the 11th house. If you have a whole sign chart, there should only be one sign there, and see if you have any planets, which would be represented by symbols within the 11th house, because that might help you decide what your 11th house is all about. And we'll talk about that a little bit later here. So the 11th house in the more modern and in the traditional manner of astrology is the house of friends. And further, it takes us into the power of groups that we are identified with. And that might include our professional associations, right? If you're a lawyer and you're part of the bar, if you're a doctor, you're part of the AMA. If you're an astrologer, you're part of the astrology groups, that type of thing. The clubs that you might be associated with, and the organizations like maybe the PTA or NAACP or, you know, any of these different organizations or clubs or groups that are out there, we see that in the 11th house, as well as your social groups. So the communities that you're a part of in all of the different social medias, so Facebook, Instagram, that type of thing, networking, right? Networking groups that you might be a part of. So when we're looking at the power of the group, we're looking at how groups and communities and people come together to add to the society or the community, right? And how we come together in a group to do more than what any one person can do. So in the astrology wheel, as we see, we have this axis, right? We have the 11th house on one side, and on the other side of the 11th house is the 5th house. So the 5th house is more about the things that I create, the things that I want to do, the way that I connect with joy, my love and romance. When we look at the 11th house, it is more the group emphasis of those types of things, right? So how we love together, how we work together, how we create together in a group, as opposed to how I create as an individual. Now, the 11th house has another connotation that I just think is so interesting, and that is about destiny, right? We think of the North Node in our charts as being about destiny, but it is the 11th house where destiny shows up in the as our hopes and our dreams, what we want to achieve, and our creative vision. So I often will tell people it's the house of vision, hopes, dreams, goals, aspirations, what it is that you hope for the world, or what it is that you have as a goal to accomplish in your life, that kind of thing. It also shows what kind of friend you are, right? So what you do for your friends, what you do with your friends, how you view your friends, but also how your friends view you. And it is a house of philanthropy. So the humanitarian, the works and projects that you get into collectively with other people, it is how your humanity shows up in the world, as Aquarius is a sign of humanity. And Aquarius energy is about the community or about the group and how we serve one another as humans on the planet. So how do you view your friends and how your friends view you is also a part of the work together that you do, perhaps in building houses or helping in recovery after disasters, or you know, volunteering your time at a school, etc. So also, this was interesting because I never knew this before, that the 11th house shows where you might have stepchildren, foster children, or adopted children. So the 11th house in and of itself is ruled by Aquarius. And it is because of Aquarius that the planet Saturn and Uranus hold rulership here. Now, this is where the 11th house, the more traditional 11th house, comes in. As I was reading about the traditional aspect of the 11th house, it was more about good fortune, right? Where the planets that were in the 11th house have come out of the glare of the sun, and they're more visible. There's more visibility here in the 11th house. You're seen, your works are seen, and it was thought of as a place of good fortune. So whatever planets might be in the 11th house, or whatever the sign is on your 11th house, may point to where you find good fortune. So of course I had to go check mine out this morning. So I was checking out my chart because I know that now I'm using whole sign, it's gonna look different because the sun for me was on the cusp of the 11th, 12th, but now my sun is very firmly in the 12th house, but Venus and Ceres show up in Taurus on my 11th house cusp. And I was like, oh, okay, this is really interesting to see how good fortune might play out in my own personal life, how it is through the way that I interact with people, with the group, how fortune smiles on me, so to speak. So looking at different charts then with the 11th house, the different signs that are there may show then what type of groups that you want to be a part of. It may show how it is that you go about connecting to your dreams or to your hopes, goals, aspirations, that type of thing. And so, for example, I was thinking about if you had Aquarius on the 11th house, so someone like Mimi, my daughter, and who was the other one I was thinking about, Cornelia, who joins us periodically here in the morning. All of you have Aries on the rise, which means that the 11th house is populated by Aquarius himself. So if you have Aquarius there, then you are epitomizing these very energies, right? So Aquarius, as a sign of humanitarianism, or as a sign of humanity, man's humanity to one another, how we help one another, how we support one another, how we show up in the world for one another. You're all resonating with that very powerfully. And you may have an affinity for being in groups of people rather than being a lone wolf, or better yet, you're balancing that energy of being alone with sharing, like Mimi does. She's an artist, so she's obviously working very much on her own, but also sharing her works of art in a gallery situation. So we see the balance of the fifth and the 11th, where the I create energy of the fifth house meets the group I share of myself, of my works, of my talents in the outer world. So that would be with the signs of Leo on the fifth house and Aquarius on the 11th house. So let's take a look, see if you guys have questions. I don't hear anything popping up from Asa, but let's take a look here and see. Kathleen, chopping wood and tending to the small things since Monday. That, of course, is in reference to the collective card that we drew on, was it Monday? Yeah, God, today's Wednesday already. So that we drew on Monday. One was chopping wood and the other was the mouse tending to the details, right? Anna Fulton, line 44, part of the sales gate 2 with 26. My friend who is 44, I am 26, launched our mini group to spread love, self-love. I love that. And yes, you're absolutely right. The gate 44 and the gate 26, as well as the gate 32 and the gate 54 and the gate 21 and the gate 45 are all part of the stream of commerce. And it's a part of the tribal circuitry. And that circuitry is about sharing with the tribe. So if we look at it from the fact it's part of the ego circuitry, right, the ego part of the tribal circuitry, it is all about how we share our business with the world. So the 4426, 44 in that particular instance sets the stage for the sale. We often think of it as the greeter energy, where you are priming the customer because your personality is pleasing, because you know the worth of what you have, and you really want to share that with others. And then the 26 thing we think of as the closer, where the closer closed the deal, seals the deal, right? Takes what we've learned from what the customer's needs are, and we close the deal for the customer. And it's interesting because when you think about the other energies that are a part of the 4426, integrity, then the 26 can show up as either the shyster salesperson, the liar, or they can show up in great integrity, which is, you know what, this isn't the right thing for you. I think you should look elsewhere, or let me show you a different product that's more in keeping with what you're describing as your needs, rather than me trying to sell you something that won't work for you. So the 4426 as a part of the business circuitry, or the business circuit, let's say, is the part where you're marketing and you're selling, and you're doing that with either integrity or without it. And of course, that depends on you as a person and how it is that you are going to use those energies. So Anna, thank you for bringing that up. And that's a great thing. And then if you and a partner that are going into business together have this and it comes together, it's the perfect world, right? It was funny because I spent a good chunk of my earlier life in sales and I was really good at it without the gate 26. And what was happening with me with the gate 44 that I had was that I was very able to tap into what I thought people needed. And almost as a factor of intuition, I would lead them to exactly what it is they needed. I was not the hard closer where it says, what's it going to take for you to make this decision right now today? And yeah, so the 44 can still be through personality and through, you know, being transparent, living from truth. As we've learned, the gate 44 is about truth. Then people would still buy, right? That's kind of the thing. But I am definitely, you guys can tell that because here in the morning, I'm not browbeating people into buying anything like readings or doing this or doing that. It's very hard for me to promote myself. I really rely on those of you with the gate 26 to tell people to thumbs up and do all of that. But that's how that energy can work out in a chart. Okay, Anna has 44 and... Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. So you have both. Ingrid, my 11th house starts at 12 degrees Virgo, containing Moon and Pluto. So that would mean in the whole sign aspect, which or house designation, which is the one I'm using now, that your 11th house must be Virgo, starting in zero Virgo. So depending on the degree, let's see, 12 degrees Virgo is the house containing Moon and Pluto, and Moon and Pluto is probably in Virgo as well. So, you know, that would really mean that Virgo is a sign of purity. It is a sign of practical sort of reworking things, get a minimalism sort of energy, and not minimalism in the bad sense, right? It's let's talk about it in terms of simplifying or focusing in energy into a specific way. And if you have Moon and Pluto there, then a good part of your life is about getting to the crux of something, really focusing, honing something in the 11th house, then that is something that you want to share with others, right? So you have a vision or a dream of reworking something, of making something more clear, of making something more practical, more hip, right? More to the point of the day that we live in now, and put those together. And what you see is that your destiny, if you will, is about simplifying something, bringing up the practical solutions to something, and then sharing them with groups of people or with a community of people. And that's kind of what the work is that you do, isn't it? I mean, in some ways that plays into the kind of work that you do, Ingrid. And Christine Buckingham, Pisces, Sun, and Mercury, 11th house. So when you put, whoa, 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 that jumped. I got to go back and see what that was all about. So I can't, I lost the whole train. Here we go. Ingrid, I talked, Christine. Okay, there we go. Pisces, Sun, and Mercury on the 11th house. There we go. So Pisces on the 11th house is maybe sharing from a sense of spirituality, right? Sharing the work of spirit, or sharing of your imagination, of your, there would be some artistic kind of energy there that you're sharing with the community. Your hopes and your dreams may be something more idealistic than realistic. And that can be a source for conflict within you as Aquarius, as the ruling sign of the 11th house in the natural zodiac, is more objective. It stands back a bit and says, okay, well, these are the things that should be, but I'm not real attached or engaged in making that happen. Pisces, on the other hand, as water, is all in emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally, and then gets very easily upset when the dream, the vision, the goal, the hopes, etc., don't turn out the way that they had hoped. So sometimes, depending on whether your Sun and Mercury are stressed, if they are stressed, they would have maybe a square to Uranus, Saturn, Pluto, or whether they're benefic, maybe they're energized by a connection to Jupiter or Venus, then, you know, the creative energy, the spiritual energy finds its outlet with the people that you bring into your life or that you are attracted to in your life. Remember, these, the 11th house, and I don't know that I actually said this, but it is really an affinity for like-minded people. So, I mean, rarely do we join up groups of people that we don't have an affinity for, right? I'm not going to necessarily join up to the PTA if I've never had a child in the school system and I'm not, you know, caring about the school system. But I might join up with, let's say, the Red Cross because I feel like I have a need to serve in a capacity of helping people who've been through trauma or disasters. So that's the energy here then with Pisces, is that this is like-minded people. So depending too on your human design chart, if you have an open identity center, super important for you, Christine, to make sure that you are surrounded by people that you love and trust. Because if not, then you're feeling always the lower, more negative end of that energy. So it's going to be important. Take a look at your Sun and Mercury and look and see what connections they make to other planets. If it's positive, this is an ease and flow. If it's not so positive, it could be challenges that you have to get through before you get to where you want to be in that energy. And Anna, that's me, Aquarius there. Awesome. Courtney, Leo with Saturn and Mercury. So, wow. So Saturn and Mercury, are they close together or are they spread apart? Because Saturn and Mercury can have a very, Saturn together with Mercury isn't necessarily a bad thing. That can be a very focused mind with very concentrated, with a deep concentration ability. But it can also lead to more negative thinking, right? That's what we're having, you know, going on right now with Mercury squaring Saturn, this negative news cycle, our minds thinking more negatively. I got to share something weird that my husband shared with me this morning. And I just thought, now, where did that come from? One of the drivers that was delivering product to his business yesterday said, oh, I don't know, if Trump isn't the one that wins the election, there is going to be civil war and I'm going to take my seatbelt and I'm going to tie it to my door so that hordes of people can't grab my door open and pull me out of my rig. And I'm like, what? Right? This is the kind of negative thought processes that come up with Mercury and Saturn in that square, right? They're focusing on this negative thing that, I mean, I haven't heard that anywhere other than through this. And so I thought it was really interesting, that negative thinking, that stinking thinking that we talked about with Mercury squaring Saturn. Mercury conjunct Saturn, if that's how close they are in your chart, Courtney, could mean that there are times you get into that negative sort of self-talk or that negative voice in your head, or you think more small, right? You think more small. Now, there's nothing wrong with thinking small. I don't mean that at all, but I mean, sometimes you might need to get out of yourself and out of your way. And if it's on the 11th house, you might need to get around other people in a community that can help you see beyond what you've limited your thoughts to. So look very carefully at what Saturn and Mercury are doing here. And how often do you get caught up in the small thinking or the negative thinking, but then you get around people like maybe us right here in this community in the morning, maybe that broadens your mind and you again get to see from the bigger perspective. But when you need it, boy, can you focus in on the details of something, right? The details. And of course, being in Leo, it adds a bit of the dramatic flair to the whole proceeding. And so when you're thinking negative, it can be a big trauma drama. When you're thinking positive, it can be that broad stroke that just has the world as your oyster, and your place in it is big and large and in charge. So maybe vacillating a bit between those energies. Mimi, interesting. I have Chiron in the 11th house. Woo. So the wound that you were working out in this lifetime then, Mimi, is about being around others. Right? So maybe you've had to work harder. And I know you're after age 50. So now this is in this healing process. Perhaps you had to work harder to want to even be around other people or to be in the group dynamic, perhaps being wounded in other lifetimes by your group affiliations, right? Being persecuted for your belief systems, etc. So different things could be happening there on that front for you. And then as time goes on and you begin to heal, then you sort of poke your head out and you start to get around more people in groups and you see, wow, you know, these people and I, we see eye to eye, we work well together. I like being around this group. They're not taking my identity away from me, which is the other thing that can happen with Chiron sitting there. And so now at this point in your life, you're much more willing, able, and wanting to be around other people, but you still maintain your own identity and your own sense of creativity and self-expression. Hopefully that's meaningful for you. J-Lo says, Aries with a hole. Aries in the whole signs, is that what you're talking about, J-Lo? So Aries, you know, you're kind of this maverick. You know, and so you would likely go solo more often than not. But if you did join up with a group of people, they would be forward-thinking people. They would have to be people that were independent, that were, not wanting anything from you other than just to, you know, be with them or to, you know, you would want a group that was going to allow you to come and go at will, you know, no major commitment, that kind of thing. Because Aries energy wants to be free to do what they want to do when they want to do it. So the 11th house for you, friends might be more difficult, especially if they put demands on you or expectations on you in any kind of way. Ursula, with whole sign system, I have Mars in Cancer in the 11th house. So Mars, first of all, in a water sign, Mars in a water sign, Mars is fire. So there tends to be some steaminess with Mars in the sign of in water. And because Cancer is emotional, then it might be that sometimes groups and your friends trigger you emotionally. And that Cancer there is a very healing, nurturing place. So you really, you know, want to be nurtured and be nurturing to your friends and the people that you're around. That's the kind of friend you might be, one who takes care. But then possibly at times you may feel like you get a little bit stabbed in the back or brushed off, or that your friends don't really mirror what it is that you want. So then you pull back. There's also that gate 33, I think, that you have in your human design chart. That's a very private gate. Private as in it's a person who prefers to be alone. And, you know, sometimes Mars then is the possibility of generating openings for you to get out into the world so that you're not just in your own private little world. You're sharing of yourself with others and giving the other opportunity to share with you. So I hope that helps you. Anna Fulton, wow, I needed to hear this today as I am Aquarius and coming out of stay at home to a life coach like on Facebook. I'm so scared. You know, the very fact that you're scared, Anna, tells you that that's exactly the direction that you're meant to go in. And I love it that you're doing that. If there's anything that the rest of us as a group can do to help support you, let us know, right? We're here to do that for one another. Anna says, I can't wait to see what planet is my uprising. Do you mean you're rising with the whole sign? So your rising sign doesn't change with the change to whole sign. It just means that whatever sign your rising is in becomes the 0 degree so that the whole of your first house is in that sign. So if you have a Cancer rising, let's say you have a 15 degree Cancer rising, then we're going to move 0 degrees Cancer to the 0 degree or to the beginning of the first house. And the first house is going to be occupied by all of the sign of Cancer. So anything you had in the sign of Cancer would be in the first house. Then your second house is going to start with Leo, 0 degrees Leo, and move through all 29 degrees of Leo. So I hope that helps. I think that's what you're asking. If not, then let me know. Ursula says, I get confused with whole house as I've had my birth node in the 11th, and with whole sign system, the north node moves to H12 Leo. Hard for me to reframe. Okay, well, let's reframe it for you. So your a north node in the 11th house would mean that you were really here with a destiny to move into group dynamics, right? That means that you were always going to be a part of networking or a social group or in some way identified with a community or with professional associations, clubs, organizations, social groups, et cetera, right? Where you come together as a group to do more than just what you can do on your own. That would be an 11th house destiny. Now, the 12th house destiny is different, right? Because that's a very spiritual approach to life. Your destiny is about learning to be more spiritual, to embrace the divine you and how the divine you is living in this human body framed in a very physical planet. And I say, as I look at this, to me, and I don't know you well, Ursula, but I know from looking at your human design chart that the possibility for you is that you really prefer that destiny in the 12th house because it does allow you to be more invisible, more hidden, more private, if you will, more in the behind the scenes, the power behind the throne, if you will. But Leo, I think you said it was Leo, right? Leo is a sign that wants to be in the spotlight. So it makes a bit of a conundrum for you in your life where you're having to peek out at times and be part of the group. Then that's followed by a time of solitude and withdrawal again, where you can again be, you know, private or unseen or invisible. So your destiny is to definitely be able to work through being self-expressive, doing your heart's work, whatever it is that you feel is your calling from the heart, what you desire. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do it in the confines of a group. It could be you being you and doing what you love. And right now I know that you happen to be on a very spiritual path. Looking for more answers. That's very in keeping with the North Node in the 12th house, not necessarily the North Node in the 11th house. So what I see is with the whole sign, it really gives me more ability to tune into what's the real truth of the house that you're in. And let me tell you why, because even if we were using placid as houses, there would be a sign on the cusp. And that sign on the cusp would be the one that we would really look to. So let's go back to our 15 degree Cancer rise. We would still see that the first house had a very Cancer flare to it. So moving to 0 degrees doesn't really change fundamentally how we would talk about that house, but it very definitely could move planets more into that house, and in which case we see more details about what goes on in that house because of the planetary relationships. So I hope that makes sense. I hope that helps a little bit. Anna, so intuitive. Thank you so much. You're very welcome. J-Lo, on that note, please take a moment to hit the support, the thumbs up to support. Thank you very much, J-Lo. You guys, I love you. Pauline Blender says, my 11th house Gemini with nothing in it, but I like groups now, not before, and great networker behind the scene. Well, the 11th house in Gemini is a natural communicator, right? A natural affinity for the social networking, right? And for all that that entails, right? The work behind the scenes, the work in front of the scenes, the I'm talking to people, I'm building rapport, I'm talking, I'm sharing, I'm interacting. The 11th house Gemini is very much a networker, right? So it and it's an air sign, as is Aquarius, the natural ruler of the 11th house. So while Gemini on the 11th house may be more personally engaged with the day-to-day details of something or the chatting or talking or sharing of information, Aquarius there would be a little more objective and, you know, speaking maybe to the wider group rather than the individuals within the group. So you like to speak with the individuals in the group, you know, forming relationships with those individuals, where Aquarius there is really much more group. It would be the person who is sharing with a wider group, and then the Geminis in the group take it and share it with one another. So I hope that helps you, Pauline. Asa, part of fortune, Pluto and Uranus in Virgo in the 11th house in whole sign. So this is why, you know, you, Asa, at this point in your life, looking for, you know, doing virtual work, right? Virtual assisting work is so perfect for you, because the 11th house wants to serve and help humanity. And a Virgo on the 11th house can do that by really tapping into the details, right? You can see the details and you can focus on all the steps that need to be taken to get to where you need to be or to get to finish the work. It's why I love the graphics that you do, because somehow you take all the words that I tell you about something and you put it in a graphic. I love it, right? So I would look at it. I mean, definitely graphic is not my cup of tea. But you do it beautifully because you have an eye to the detail. And then of course, being a Libra sun, you also have an eye to the aesthetics, right? So it's good work for you to do that. The part of fortune says you'll find joy there, right? That you're going to find luck there. So it's a good thing for you. Pluto, it's transformational in your life because you're being able to tap into what's sustainable, what works, what's, you know, what's kind of on the ear of the people. It's perfect for you. Uranus wants freedom and liberation. Maybe it is the kind of work that liberates you to be able to work at home as a manifestor should, doing their own work. Sorry, all my alarms are going off. I don't know why. We'll have to wait through. It's a test. There's nothing happening. We'll just have to listen to it for a minute. Wow. See, Uranus at his best, surprising me. And I'm sure my husband doesn't even realize that that was turned on because he keeps it off for me so it doesn't interrupt me. Oh, okay. Well, okay. We're done with that one. Sylvester says, Gemini is in my 11th house with the moon. So a very public sort of, the moon in the 11th house can be someone who is very much wanting to participate in a group. Now you said you have Gemini there. Gemini is a sign, of course, like Pauline's, that likes to talk, that likes to interact, that is good with that social atmosphere. So depending on how that moon is connected to other planets, you may feel very comfortable in a group situation, or if it's connected to some other planets, maybe you want to hide a bit from the public glare. But when you choose to get into the public, when you choose to be a part of a community, you can be a very effective communicator within that community, very emotional, loving, giving, etc. in that. And likely you find yourself often in relationships with people in a group that have sort of karmic strands, right? You can kind of see, like, have we done this before? Or often with people that are of like mind, etc. And let's see. Ingrid, thank you. Spot on. Janet, thank you for sharing that profound wisdom and blessing us daily. You're so welcome. J-Lo, I have Lilith, Jupiter, Metis, Chariclo, Eris, Chiron in Aries in the 11th house with the whole house system. You, my friend, have lots going on in a house that's very public, very visible. And I think that you have a lot of different gifts to share with groups and communities, and that you should keep on trucking in that direction for sure. And know that you're going to have some bumps and thumps there as well, because Lilith, of course, she's going to bring up the shadow. Eris is going to bring up discord, Chiron, those healing, wounding sort of situations. But you have Jupiter there. You land like a cat on your feet, and you find that your biggest lessons and your expansion, your evolution in life comes through the people that you are in community with, whom you commune with, right? It can be family, but likely it's more friends and people in as part of a community. Amy D, good morning. So not sure which is the sign that's on my 11th in my chart. If the 11th house is in two different signs, which is most important? Exactly why I don't use Placidus houses anymore, Amy, because the whole sign puts one sign in the whole of a house. So whatever sign is on the cusp of your 11th house is likely the one that in whole sign is going to be all in, right? All in. It's where you're all in. So tell us what sign that is if you have that. You're welcome, Christine. And Christine says QAnon and other conspiracy groups are promoting that sort of negativity. So let's do this. Instead of making them wrong, making them, loving them. Let's just love them. Let's just send waves of love out. You know, I often think when people join up with groups like that, they're often Eris type groups, right? Where they've been marginalized. They carry a message of not being included in something, of wanting maybe that inclusivity, but in a different way than what the mainstream is. And they get attention, right? They get attention because of the negative slant that they take. So instead of our being, you know, in resistance to that, then let's just send love out to all groups that seek to create harm or division, because that's all I can really do. I can't really change. I hope that makes sense. It gets pretty emotional when you start to think about, you know, why people would start a group that has such a negative reputation. I don't know. Love. Love is the answer. And it's also the question. How can we love more? Ursula says, thank you. That feels better. Pauline, another chart, sidereal has Mars in Gemini. I don't know anything about sidereal, so I cannot answer your questions about that, Pauline. And here's my suggestion for all of you, because I know that there's an interest level here in about astrology, or else you wouldn't be here. But I would, if I were you, resist the temptation to go hopping from one system to another, from, for example, sidereal to Placidus to whole houses to all these different types of things, because unless you're an expert in one of them, you can't really understand the context of how the other one applies. And then you can get very confused, right? You can get very confused about that. So while I think it's interesting, and with Gemini on your 11th house, certainly, Pauline, you can go looking for information and so forth, follow your strands of curiosity. But just remember that likely as not, that's going to be a source of confusion for you. And the possibility is that you need to go back to, you know, really understanding the basics first before you branch off, unless you learned sidereal astrology first. There's a lot of people that do heliocentric astrology, where the sun is the center of the chart and not the earth, in which case there are no retrogrades, because from the perspective of the sun, they're all rotating around him. When we have earth-centric or geocentric astrology, it's the earth that's in the middle. And so it is about how the earth is in relationship to the other planets as well as the sun, which is why sometimes faster planets can move fat beyond us and then seemingly turn retrograde as we begin to pass them. And it's just an interesting dynamic. So learn one, right? And stick with that. Unless you really understand yourself and you're just following a strand of curiosity, and then you can incorporate that in your understanding of who you already are, instead of it letting it confuse you and create that kind of chaotic energy surge, that information overload. Ursula says, you have helped me reframe in my older, wiser age. I am more reclusive, but have asked to step into the public light. I haven't been afraid. Right. And it wasn't really about fear either. It's just your natural energy. Your natural destiny is about spending quite a bit of time with your own self, right? In that privacy of your own world, studying your own spirituality or your own reality. And if you get called out as a projector or invited in to participate in the group, then of course you would, because projectors are our leaders, right? You're the orchestrators. You're the, right, lead, guide, manage, orchestrate. And when you're called in to that kind of position, otherwise you remain in repose. It's like Buddha. I always remind my projectors that you are more like Buddha. You wait until somebody comes up to you and calls you out for your wisdom, and you share until you're done with that, and then you go back to repose. You are never Superman or Superwoman, where you are just flying off the handle, going off in many different directions, saving people who didn't necessarily ask for you to save them, leading people who didn't really ask for you to lead them. You're Buddha, waiting for your moment when someone invites you in, and then they value you, they hear you, they recognize your worth, and all is right in your world. But to do it in the opposite direction sort of caves you in a bit, right? You don't feel exactly valued. You're sharing wisdom with people who are going, la, 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 I don't want to hear it, right? And that makes you feel devalued. So stick with what you know to be true about you. There are times when you are in repose and other times when you're invited in and you choose to head out into the world being your light, right? And you're always shining your light, no matter what, right? And that light acts as a beacon that draws the right people and experiences to you. That's the part that you have to have faith in and trust in the universe, that the right people, circumstances, opportunities are going to be there and invite you in to participate. All right. Anna says, I'm practicing compassion. Love it. So let's see here. And Christine says, my youngest son and I are Pisces sons. Sidereal makes me an Aquarius. Yeah, I don't know anything about sidereal. I do know, though, that one day I was listening to a radio program on Blog Talk, and I'm not even sure why. I feel like I was also participating in it. So maybe it was a couple of different astrologers. And this gentleman was on that does sidereal astrology, and I was amazed at how accurate it was. So there is accuracy in every way that you look at it. You see these common themes that tend to develop. And just like the theme, I see themes that develop in human design that are also echoed in astrology. So it's a matter of how you look at that information. And I'm not practiced at all in sidereal, so I couldn't even tell you how that plays out. Good point, Pauline says. She's going to take my advice, right? Follow your curiosity when it's there, but make sure you really truly know yourself first so that you don't get all confused in the mess. Okay, we have 1 minute left before nine, so let's talk about the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. Yesterday, I was having a conversation with Tom. He pointed out that the last couple of days have seemed to be opposites, right? We're one day saying it's good, one where the universal energy might be saying it's good for change and travel, while the Earth energy of the day is saying don't travel, stay home, kind of thing. And I realized, yeah, that it's sort of this conundrum. We're always being asked to solve these conundrums in our day-to-day life. Well, today is about flow. The number six is our universal day energy. It is about movement, right? And when we come to an obstacle, what do? Do we give up and cross our arms and throw a temper tantrum? Or do we go, okay, what is this obstacle giving me an opportunity to reassess, to reevaluate? Maybe I need to flow around that obstacle. Maybe I need to go over it. Maybe I need to go under it. Maybe I just need to pause here until I get more clarity about what direction I go to. But I certainly don't use it as a way to give up, be the victim, right? We don't want to do that. So today's energy might be presenting us with challenges that we need to stop and assess, reassess. Okay, well, what is opening up? What is the direction I can go in? Maybe the direction I need to go in, because the moon is in the void, of course, today, is to just hold, just to sit here and hold, not flow anywhere, right? Maybe for the moment, the flow is stopped, but maybe there's a pathway that opens up and I follow that pathway. So it's about movement. It's about flow and not giving up just because an obstacle appears on your path. But it is also about not pushing that river, not pushing that flow, not forcing yourself to move that obstacle out of the way. Remember, I said flow under, over, around, go that direction. If that opens up, just like a river would do, creating a new pathway if need be, because that's where the opening was. That's where the path of least resistance carried it. So today's energy of six is about the flow, and the energy of the day for the earth is seeing energy, which in the Mayan calendar was the sign men, and men was the representation of the eagle. So the eagle being high up on its perch and being able to see into the details, to really see new ideas and how those new ideas fit in with the old or with what we our current knowing. So for instance, it would be like with Pauline, you know, liking this idea of learning sidereal astrology. But if you don't really have the full picture of who you are in one system, then those details get lost. But if you have a good knowing of who you are, then seeing an extra detail adds flavor to what you already know. So if you're adding too much and the flavor gets confusing, then you go, okay, maybe I just need to back off a bit. And if it doesn't, if it adds to it, it makes you feel good, helps you see yourself in a different light, then yay, right? It's done. You've done it the right way. So today is an energy where we can both see the details, but we are doing that from a higher perspective, the perspective of the eagle, which from the height of their, you know, 250-foot perch at the top of the trees can see way more than what we can from this level. So it also gives us this feeling that we have to rise up to the level of spirit, to the level of the divine, to be able to see more clearly, right? Clearer vision coming from the higher perspective. All right. So that is it for the day. I hope you all learned some great things today. Please feel free to share the video with your friends or people that you think are interested. Also, thumbs up the video, subscribe down below if you haven't done so already. And also, please go to the Living Astrology community page group. It's a group. And share what you're doing, what your insights are, what you're struggling with, whatever it is that you want to share. It's the place for us to share together. That's it for me today. See you tomorrow. Have a great one.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.